Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the Screen Verdict podcast, we are not reviewing Star Wars. We're going to review something else. Matt, what are we doing instead of Star Wars?
Well, it's the Star Wars of Netflix. American Vandal, Season 1.
American Vandal. Yes, we will be talking Star Wars very soon. But this was a show that both Matt and I have watched. We think it's a bit of an interesting show, a unique show, something that I think you guys might enjoy watching. We'll let you know in our review. And definitely going to enjoy listening to us talk about, because I have thoughts. Matt, have you got thoughts?
Well, you just told me that I had to watch this to do a podcast. So and yeah, I was just thinking, probably the Star Wars of Netflix is, I think they've got some of the Star Wars movies on there. Probably the actual Star Wars of Netflix.
I'm like, what's this sci-fi American Vandal show you're talking about? That sounds interesting.
Disclosure, it's not sci-fi or action or anything like that.
An international phenomenon.
Themes. It's just, I'm just doing that to get people interested.
So we're going to split this podcast into a non-spoiler and spoiler segment because we know this is something maybe not everyone's watched already. So to kick off the non-spoiler segment, what is the show about? What is the premise for American Vandal?
Okay. It's set in a high school, an American high school, where there's been vandalism. Someone has spray painted dicks on all the teachers' cars on a staff development day, and a kid's been suspended over it or something, or expelled or whatever, and he claims he's innocent. And the series is a documentary to discover what the identity is of the American Vandal.
Yes, so we were both big fans of Making a Murderer. Did that come out 2016? We'll go with 2016. We thought that was a very interesting show. True crime, we have someone accused of a terrible crime, not quite as bad as spray painting dicks on a car. So they've upped the stakes with American Vandal. And it was really interesting to watch this unfold. You know, were there other suspects? Were there reasons that someone might have wanted to set Stephen Avery up? And was there a false conviction? So it follows a similar path. This is not true crime. This is, I guess, a parody or satire, if you will. It sounds a bit kooky, doesn't it? It sounds just like, okay, you've taken that and it's just one big dick joke, which it is. But did you think there were layers to that, or do you think that this is just a zany, crude attempt at comedy?
What I thought was interesting about this is done very earnestly, the show. So it's done very much like you're Making a Murderer or your Serial, and because of that, it actually wasn't a show that was really thinking of the punchlines much. It was like trying to look real. I was actually, I think my mum was watching a bit of it, and she didn't realize it was a scripted thing.
Which is totally understandable if you just joined halfway through an episode.
Yeah.
Yes, I think a big key to making a show like this work is the tone. And the tone is pretty much dead serious. I mean, there are a couple of moments where you can kind of see that the show is like a little bit self-aware. But for the most part, you genuinely believe that these are amateur documentarians, filmmakers that are trying to uncover a mystery. And so that pulls you into the mystery. Although it seems silly, who spray painted the dicks on the teacher's cars sounds frivolous. I got pulled into it. I was like, I want to watch the next episode. What's the next clue? I suspect this guy. I suspect that girl. And the comedy, they let come from the subject matter. They didn't try and, you know, make too many overt jokes. They didn't, you know, come out of, like, the character or the tone of the story. They just told a good crime mystery that just happened to be about something silly and with kind of like a goofy main character, Dylan, and let the comedy come from that. So I thought that was a very interesting take on the show.
Have you seen the show Documentary Now?
I watched the first couple of episodes. I thought it was a little bit funny, but I much prefer Portlandia. Not the same thing, okay. Basically. Just it's not the best Fred Armisen show, is what I was trying to say.
Well, that sort of mockumentary, sort of fake documentary stuff, and I remember I was talking with Fred Armisen about it, and he was saying how it's, like, so important when you're doing a fake documentary for the characters to be serious.
Yes.
Like, to, you know, have them, like, so earnest, because that's what where it becomes funny, is if this ridiculous premise is completely bought into by the characters in the fake documentary, which I thought this show did a very good job of.
Yes. And so we mentioned some of the characters. Dylan, he is the main character. Without giving any sort of spoilers about how it progresses, what did you think of Dylan? Was he empathetic? Was he likable?
Yeah, I quite like Dylan. Like, there's times when he's really frustrating, you wanting to pull your hair out. Why is he doing that? Why is he saying that? But you sort of liked him, and you liked his sort of how into things he got. He's this real dropkick kid, just making stupid viral videos with his friends, not really much respect for school. But he seems to be a guy who sort of feels misunderstood, and you sort of, that gives him an empathy.
Yeah, I thought he was a funny character. He wasn't a great guy. It's not like I agreed with everything he did. Sometimes he was selfish or immature. But I kind of felt that he wasn't necessarily a bad person. A lot of it was just kind of he was putting up a front to, you know, overcompensate for insecurities or, you know, everybody just told me I'm dumb, so I'm going to act dumb. But, you know, beneath it, there was kind of like, you know, glimpses of hope I felt for Dylan.
Yeah, and I think just like Making a Murderer or Serial, without saying whether Dylan did or did not do the dicks, you got a sense of, boy, the system was against him.
Yes, it was Dylan against the world, and... So the document.
You know what Dylan reminded me of? Another TV character.
Who did Dylan remind you of? No one's really coming to mind. I don't know. Not quite, but maybe like a Charlie from It's Always Sunny.
Oh yeah, I was thinking. Have you ever seen the show? It's an Australian comedy, Summer Heights High.
Oh yes, Jonah.
That show. I think he was like a slightly less likable version of Jonah.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Not the best comedy ever, but like probably worth checking out if you haven't seen that, especially the Jonah arc. And I think in Dylan and in Jonah, what you see is they're not great students, but is that because of who they are or because of like the way they're treated by the teachers?
Yeah, and I think that's a good comparison because I thought Summer Heights High was quite funny, but the Mr. G and Jemay storylines I didn't enjoy as much because I didn't think they had really any redeeming qualities, whereas Jonah, even though he made mistakes, you kind of rooted for him, and so yeah. I at times I kind of felt similarly about Dylan. So we have a couple of filmmakers. I'm forgetting the names of the filmmakers. It's Sam and then is it Daniel? And they are trying to tell the story. Did you think they did a good job? Do you think they were objective at diving into this mystery and looking at all the angles? Did they leave any stones unturned?
It was pretty Like, particularly for high school students, they did a pretty good job of covering everything and following things up. There's a few things along the way they did it differently than I would have. Yeah.
I think they did a really good job, and I love this sort of the detail that they went to with the analysis of certain things and the like the graphics that they put together. For example, one of the characters claimed that he got a hand job on camp, and yeah. So they go to the camp and they were like, "He claimed it happened here. Could you have seen it from this angle or this angle across the lake?" And they've got like a 3D like recreation of it happening, and it's just so silly seeing this like 3D animation of this alleged hand job. But the fact that it was like dead serious, although it's like silly, while I'm watching it, I'm like, that's a good point. You wouldn't have been able to see it from the kayaks.
Yeah, and it's also a good, like, and that sort of highlights the serious show, but it's about something silly in that, like, you bought into the stakes. So the reason they were doing that wasn't to be crude. It was because if they could disprove that, it would help maybe get the student who's been expelled from school, who's facing a large civil case, his whole life's going to be ruined. It could actually give him another chance.
Yeah, definitely. Let me see. What are some other non-spoilery topics we can talk about? Or if we exhausted that, are we ready to move on to some spoilers?
I think we've talked a lot about it. Do you think... Okay, here's a question, though. Like, we're obviously somewhat renowned detectives in our spare time.
Oh, absolutely.
We solve the mystery. And I was watching this game. Oh, man, if only I'd like... We had the technology back when I was in year six. Just teachers missing cooking thing. I could have interviewed people and put a little film together. It would have been great. Do you reckon, what would we do if we were in a school or something where there was a big act of vandalism? Would we do anything differently to these guys? Or we pretty much do what they did?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think they did a pretty good job. I think that... I don't know. I think I would have been a lot more suspicious of you. I think it would have taken a turn. I think it would have become two solo projects very quickly.
I do think what we will get to is when they... do in going through all the suspects have to address each other and whether each other had a motive, because they're both students in the high school. I had some issues with maybe how that was conducted, but we might talk about that in the spoiler section.
Very good. Do we give a verdict before going into the spoilers so that the people that haven't watched know our verdict?
They should know whether they it's good enough that they should watch it. Or whether they need to just, they could not worth seeing. I'll just listen to the rest of this like entertaining podcast about it.
Yeah, if we don't like it, presumably the podcast is better than the show. At which point, just keep listening. Forget the show. Enjoy some bonus screen verdict.
Yeah. If you like and recommend it, go watch the show. Then obviously, come straight back and listen to the podcast. And maybe there's some listeners out there who just hate all our opinions on things. So if we give it a bad review, they'll love this show. Or if we give it a good review, they'll go, nah, just keep on listening to the podcast. It's not worth my time.
That would be interesting if there was a listener out there who hated our opinions so much that they were forced to listen to the podcast because our inversely correlated opinions to theirs actually ended up providing good recommendations.
Yes. Now, that's interesting because I had in my head, and this might say a lot about me, is that even people who completely disagree with our opinions find our banter and podcast entertaining. They're probably going, look, disagree with these guys, but what a bloody good podcast.
They got no idea what they're talking about, but I love to hear them ramble.
Yeah. What you say is probably more likely, because if you don't like our taste in things, you're probably not going to like what we use in the podcast.
Well, why ever you're here, we're glad you are, and let's get to a verdict for American Vandal. Season one, question mark?
Yeah, it could be just a one-off season.
Who knows?
Right, if the one-off season at the Emmys, they could maybe go on the mini-series category. That could be clever, and then, yeah, anyway.
So there you go. American Vandal. Overall, I really enjoyed it. I thought the premise was a bit silly and I wasn't sure whether it was really going to be for me, but once they got into the mystery, I got hooked. I wanted to know who did it. I had so many theories and I wanted to see if they came true. And it was I thought for the most part, it was paced really well and it was pretty consistently funny. There were quite a few great lines. You know, for example, like Dylan talking about not wanting to go to his friend's bathroom because he doesn't like the soft toilet seat because he felt like he was pooping into someone else's butthole. Yeah. Just goofy stuff like that. And I also think it actually made quite a good commentary on the criminal justice system. You're like, who would have thought such like a seemingly silly show was actually making some quite insightful sort of like political and, you know, social, you know, commentaries. So overall, I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
That's cool. I love these mystery things. I love the Jinx. I love Serial. I loved Making Murderer. So it's really fun to see just such a well-produced, well-done, scripted comedy sort of, I guess, spoof on those things. So I really enjoyed that. The characters hooked me in. I had my own theories. The things I loved about those serious documentaries, I loved about this sort of less serious comedy, but as you said, also made some really good points. Some of the probably like were a bit unnecessary or a bit slowed it down a bit, but generally really good. I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10.
7.5. So there you go. A combined 16. Pretty good score. Pretty good score. So there you go. If you don't like our opinions, it's a not watch. If you generally agree with us, give it a go. As we now transition to our spoiler segment. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Brace yourselves. We're about to reveal maybe who the murderer, maybe who the vandal was, and things like that.
Matt, who was your first suspect for who did the dicks?
That goody two-shoes girl who did the protests and stuff like that.
That was your very first pick. What made you pick her out so early on?
I just had the feeling, just a gut, sort of, I've got a good read on people.
I'm starting to not believe you.
Okay, it wasn't her.
Well, we might talk about her in just a minute, but who were some of your suspects?
Okay. I really had one suspect after maybe the second or third episode that I pretty much stayed with the whole season. So I pretty much only had one pick the whole time.
But you were all in. You put all your chips on red.
Yeah, and I think I texted you about it, and because I know you'd already finished the series. And I thought it was Dylan's girlfriend.
Dylan's girlfriend. Now, I didn't think it was her, but I thought she would play a role because they said that she was streaming. She likes streaming her video games on Twitch, and she had a webcam. And so I thought, ooh, I bet at some point, like, something's captured on her webcam, like if Dylan was there or a phone call, or there's going to be some evidence to do with that. So I didn't think she was guilty, but I thought somehow that that would be, that was a route they were going to take.
I thought, like, Dylan was covering for her, maybe. Like, that's maybe why it's been a bit difficult about some things. And now, this could be me not paying attention to the show. The big red flag, like, for her, was that, like, he brought her dog food, and I didn't get quite, like, because I thought he went to her house because he saw an Instagram, and he sort of thought, oh, yeah, she, there's an Instagram photo of her looking a bit lonely, she needs me, and, like, it wasn't a plan, like, she had texted him asking for dog food, so I thought there was a bit of a, like, chink in the story of him rocking up there with dog food, because I thought he went because he saw an Instagram post.
Yeah.
Did I miss something?
Well, here's the thing. If you had said that, I'd be like, that's suspicious. I don't think that's a clear sign. That's not a clear form of communication from her to Dylan. But in Dylan's mind, I can totally see that. Like, him just going, oh, her posting a picture, like, oh, hanging out alone on Instagram. Oh, I know what that means. Like, I'm on my way, babe. Like, so
with the dog.
With the dog food. I can't remember. He was trying to do something nice.
Yeah, okay. So it was just a gesture of love, was getting the dog food. Okay. That was the one thing that really pricked my, like suspicions. I'm like, sort of, I don't get where this dog food comes in. I was obviously not realizing how random feeling can be with things. And I don't remember the, like, I know the trip to get the dog food being factored into a lot of the journey things. But anyway, so that's what made me think it was her. And then, the thing is, like, with shows like this, you see the spotlight turned on people. Like, so there's the witness, right? Witness McGee, the creepy guy who claimed to have gotten a hand job.
Yes, he was a very unreliable witness. Yeah. Almost too unreliable, though, to be the culprit.
Yeah, and the spotlight was on him in, like, the second or third episode. So you're like, well, he's not the guy. Like, they want us to think it's him for the episode, then it won't be him, then it'll shift to someone else, and then it'll, like, you know, that's how these things.
Yeah, I think if he had done it, if he had done it, he would have cracked already.
Yeah. So I sort of thought the fact that the girlfriend hadn't become a suspect for ages, like, every episode I'm getting more confident in the prediction. I'm going, oh, no one's even, like, mentioned her much. This is great. And then it got turned on her in, what, the second or third last episode?
Yes.
And I thought, this might be close enough to the end where it's not out of the question she did this. I was like, maybe I've hit the money here, but no, it was a bit too early. Just a little bit too early.
That's like when your horse is winning, like, down the straight, and you're like, oh, the straight's, like, kind of close to the end, but it's not, you only want to be leading at the very end of the race.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the thing with these scripted murder things. It's always, like, you never want your, like, everyone to be putting a lot of attention on your character in the sort of second or third episode. Because, like, they're not going to, it's going to be someone, usually they introduce the first episode, but there are no one, and maybe there's a throwaway line about maybe them being involved at some point. But, so you can sort of, oh, okay, yeah. Now, seven episodes to go, it's not going to be this guy. They're questioning way too hard with seven episodes to go.
Yes, and just to clarify the names, because we're generally pretty terrible with this, Dylan's girlfriend was called Mackenzie, and he called her Mac, and I said that the documentarians were Sam and Daniel. It's actually Sam and Peter, so there you go. Just for all the angered American Vandal fans at home, you only had to be annoyed for the first 24 minutes of the podcast.
Who are your suspects throughout the series?
So I didn't buy the theory that someone could get into the sorry, that Dylan or an accomplice of Dylan would be able to delete the footage. I was like, there's no way that could have been Dylan. Maybe if Dylan was working with someone smart, but I didn't see any connections to anyone that was good with computers. So I thought it had to be someone else that was in the, what did they call them? Like the, you know, the newsroom nine, you know, that wasn't the name, but like the people that had access to the equipment. And I thought that Sam, so he was kind of like the second lead. Like if Peter was the narrator, his best friend, Sam, I thought he was very suspicious. I didn't have a motive early on, but there were a couple of times where Peter would suggest something that I thought was a good theory, and Sam seemed to like steer them away or would be too keen to go in one direction. And then when we started to learn about the him kind of being jealous of Gabby, who he had been best friends with for years, and she was dating a douchey guy, I thought, ooh, there's your motive. He does it to either set up that douchey guy or get the you know, the prom or whatever, the dance cancelled because he didn't get to go to the dance with Gabby. So that was my theory that I rode for probably a good three quarters of the season.
Yeah, I didn't quite... I thought, like, it was a bit of a stretch, the whole cancelling the dance thing, because, like, I guess there was, like, no guarantee that that would lead to... I don't know. I just felt like that was a bit, like, there would maybe be other ways to do that.
Yeah. Well, I think the principal or whatever had previously said, you know, if there were some sort... Because there were some previous shenanigans, and he said if there's more shenanigans, they were we'll cancel the dance. So somebody doing the dicks in order to get the dance cancelled didn't seem entirely impossible to me. We also had Peter suggesting that they review each other. Like, we got to be objective. We're both suspects here. And the fact that he did a good job and Sam didn't take that very seriously... that was actually quite a funny bit, really, like him suggesting that Peter was obsessed with dicks and he just got these random photos and, like, draw dotted lines, like, being his eyesight from Peter's eyes to just, like, random people's dicks. I thought it was quite funny. But it also made me think, oh, look, you know, you're just trying to... You're joking as a deflection from your own guilt.
I thought what... Was it Sam? Which one's the one, the main one?
Peter is the main one who narrates the show, and Sam is the one that liked Gabby and was my suspect.
Do you think Peter was out of line with his section on Sam? Because that caused a huge conflict for the season.
You know, that's a good question, because that's something the show sort of examines, is like, you know, you kind of get obsessed with the work, but you don't necessarily consider that these are real people and this could have effects on, you know, people's lives and friendships and relationships and things, especially if it's not something you think has a high percentage chance of being true. Like, he didn't really suspect Sam. He kind of just went after Sam and his relationship to the point... just so he could say he was being objective, other than he really thought it was Sam. So that's a pretty rough thing to do to your friend. But I don't know how you navigate that. It's like, can you ask him beforehand or something? Say, look, I'm thinking this. But if you do that, then it's no longer objective. You can no longer say to the audience that you objectively considered Sam as a suspect. So... it's kind of tough to balance.
I feel like he way went over the line in terms of the amount of depth he went into Sam's crush. Like he went on and on and on about how much he'd obsessed over this girl. Like, it seemed like the longest segment of all the, like, segments on the night. Well, I just feel like he could have sort of maybe addressed that theory without being quite as douchey to Sam.
Mm.
Like, he could have even said, look, Sam is attracted to a girl, like, well, he's not going to, like, he might want to cancel the dance because of what it, like, I don't know if we need to go through the years and years he's, like, pining over her, at, like, footage of him, like, wanting to kiss her at the play and all that sort of stuff.
Hmm. That's fair. I mean, Sam was... I thought that was an interesting sort of plot development because I saw why Peter did that, but it was also very reasonable for Sam to be upset.
Yeah, if there's one thing to question Sam on this, it's another to put it online.
Mm.
Like, I don't mind the theory, but I mind it getting posted on the internet, like, for his best mate and... Like, and just how embellished it was, or how, like, for a theory, as you say, that probably wasn't the leading theory.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't... I think, so if we were doing this, Jonathan, would you post, like, a video of me, like, I don't know, like, I don't know, or my, like, relationship, like, whatever?
Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but I have filmmaking integrity. I owe it to the listeners, to the watchers, to the people wanting to get to the truth. Full transparency. I have nothing to hide, Matt, and neither should you.
Yeah. I don't know. This Sam's obviously had this massive crush on this girl for, like, half his life or whatever. And, like, it can really, a documentary like that coming out, can really ruin your prospects with said girl.
Oh, for sure. That was not Peter's attempt at wingmanning for Sam. Having said that, it kind of panned out.
There's a sidetrack now. Sometimes is it good just, like, get the feelings out there? Like you know, like, it's sort of, like, once it's out there, it's online that Sam likes you. You then got to deal with it a bit.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, it's your own relationship and you want to be able to address it on your own terms. But in that kind of situation where a huge part of the problem is that it's a secret, like, you can't get with this girl if she doesn't know that you even like her. So the fact that it came out that he liked her, and she's presumably maybe not always romantically liked him as much as he liked her, but has always liked him and maybe has, you know, had thoughts about, you know, being romantic with him. Now it's an opportunity. Now at least it's a possibility.
Or even she's never had the thought. It might be even better if she's never had the thoughts about him romantically, right? Because if she has, she may have thought, oh, what about, like, Sam? No, he's disgusting. Yuck. If you've never thought of it before, it puts a seed in your head. It goes, oh, I could go out with Sam. I didn't think of that as an option. I better think about this.
Maybe. I think if you've never even considered it, it's probably you're probably not interested.
Okay. Fair enough. What do I know?
A lot about movies and TV.
Yeah.
But that's your thing.
My sweet spot.
You know Martin Sheen's Skype address.
I think he used someone else's. I think Martin Sheen has a Skype account.
I know a guy that can get to Martin Sheen. I'm only like 2 degrees of separation from Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen's not great with the technology.
I know Martin. I've got the hookup for Martin Sheen's IT guy.
Okay.
So our two main theories didn't pan out. Did you suspect anyone else? Maybe one of the teachers Coach Rafferty. Maybe Ming. Poor old Ming.
I thought at one point, like, it could be Ming. I guess he's such a, like, non, like, you know, that'd be, a, like, maybe a bit of a surprise. But I feel like they were so dismissive of his, like, oh, it can't be Ming because it's Ming. It would have seemed a bit of a cop-out if it was him at the end, just because you're then like, oh, well, yeah, it's the guy that they didn't properly investigate.
Yeah.
I feel like Dwight Schrute's got the theory of murder mysteries, which I've probably gone with you, through with you before. It's not the person you most bet ever in a murder mystery. It's also never the person you'd least bet, because anyone with half a brain would suspect them the most. It's the person you most medium suspect. That is the... And I think that's a pretty good theory.
I think, yeah, I'll buy that. I think... Who are some medium suspects? I thought some of the teachers were great. I thought Mr. Kraz.
Oh, I love Mr. Kraz.
He was hilarious. And Coach Rafferty, played by Sean Carrigan. I've done a few stand-up shows with him at the Comedy Store. So I thought he did it for sure.
he kills it every night at the Comedy House.
With dick jokes.
Oh, yeah, because it's not a murder. I keep on thinking this is a murder thing. It's just a
murder. Yeah. No, he's always talking about ball hairs on stage. I thought, oh, that's the guy. That's the guy. No, but he had... There were some interesting things about him that... Because someone had trashed... Someone had made a complaint about him and then trashed his office... And then it turned out that he had been dating Mackenzie's mum. So he was in, even if he wasn't, didn't do it, he was entwined in a whole bunch of drama at the high school.
Well, you could do a documentary on McCafferty, I reckon. Yeah.
That's season two.
Yeah, season two, McCafferty.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there are any other suspects or storylines that we wanted to cover.
There were a few in the news 9 who had alibis. I guess they could have been lazy and just made one of them. Oh, they weren't really in hospital or whatever, but that would have been a bit of a cop-out.
Yeah. Yeah, you want it to be something that the audience could have picked up. Like, if it's just some random janitor that had never been, you know, talked about or something, or had been mentioned but we didn't have any clues for, you know, that's no good.
Yeah.
We want it to be something where you go, ah, I see the clues, ah, I could have put the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, don't want it to know. It was the school groundskeeper the whole time.
So the show doesn't specifically say it was definitely someone. It does. No one gets outed. No one faces sort of like the punishment for it. But, you know, perhaps I missed something. Perhaps you disagree. I don't think you did.
I remember I thought it was a bit unsatisfying, the ending.
So I thought it was interesting that Peter basically says, look, I've made some accusations and that's hurt people. And I haven't had all the facts. So I am going to present to you some facts and a theory, but I'm not going to say that this person definitely did it because I don't know. And I don't want to be responsible for hurting anybody anymore. You can, you know, make your own judgment. So I think that there was a pretty good case that Krista Carlisle did it.
And yes. He said the goody-goody two-shoes. Now, thinking it done it the whole time.
Yes. And I thought that was a great reveal when they're at the party, and I think Ming's had too much to drink, and then she says, does anybody know CPR? And we remember her alibi was that she was doing a CPR first aid course.
Yes. And then it turned out her boyfriend was the guy running that course who signed her off as having done it.
And he had kind of the same build as Dylan. So if what's his name, the kind of nerdy guy, Alex Trimboli, you know, if he had seen someone in a hoodie, he could have mistaken him as Dylan. And Krista Carlisle had possibly a reason to get at the teachers because Coach Rafferty had sort of embarrassed her for trying to get on the football team.
Yeah.
So I don't think any of it was concrete, but I thought it was a pretty solid case. Probably the strongest that they made throughout the series. Did you buy it? Were you convinced?
She didn't. the CPR thing is just that's the smoking gun. That's the evidence. To be honest, I don't think they did a great job with them of establishing the motive. It does seem very off brand for her, like, to respond in that way. But she's a high schooler, whatever. Like, I think she definitely did.
No, I think she did too. And it turns out that Dylan didn't do the dicks, or at least not those dicks. He was innocent of that, and yet, after it all, after he could have been proved innocent, he goes to, I think, is it the Spanish teacher, Miss Shapiro's house, and he spray paints a dick?
Yeah.
At first, I was very frustrated by that. I didn't like that. I was like, Dylan, why would you do that? But then I started to think, you know, this is a guy who his whole life has been told he's a loser, he's dumb, he's not going anywhere. And he faces, you know, the risk of, you know, getting expelled, not getting into college. He's going to lose his girlfriend, Mackenzie. And then American Vandal comes out and it kind of makes him a bit of a star. And when he comes back to school, people think he's a rock star. And he's like high on himself again. But then when they watch it at the party, he realizes people aren't laughing with him. They're laughing at him. They're like, what a buffoon. What an idiot. And he just kind of goes into this state of depression where he's like, you know, if everyone keeps telling me that I'm the bad guy, eventually, you know, I just decided to be the bad guy. And so I don't agree with that line of reasoning, but I felt it was believable for Dylan's character that he would do something so self-destructive.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is, you know, kind of an interesting statement on just like, you know, sort of perhaps like the school system or just like, you know, general parenting. It's like if you have a child like that, you know, obviously there have to be boundaries and you have to be realistic. You can't just keep telling them they're wonderful and can do whatever they want. But, it, you know, you have to give them some sort of, like, hope or encouragement. Because if you tell a kid he's, like, naughty every day, eventually he's going to be like, yeah, I'm the naughty kid, and just do naughty things.
Yeah. Yeah, and as a teacher, that's something, like, we're, like, at school, we've got to be very careful of is making sure the kids that are trouble at school, you also, when they do the right thing, give them encouragement.
And then the good kids, you just give them a B every now and again, just to keep them on their toes.
I think what we're trying to do is give the good kids who are really good at subjects stuff, give them more challenging work to do so they can get a few things, get challenged a bit more, and probably they won't get as good a mark on the harder work. But yeah. No, that's the thing to do. Never let a kid think that there's nothing valuable about them or whatever. There's always something to encourage, I think. I do work in a private school in Sydney's eastern suburbs, though, so I guess like, there's probably teachers that have much more challenging environments with violence and all sorts of things.
Has there been any sort of mystery at your school, any vandalism, any sort of copycat repercussions after the release of the series? Any dick drawings at St. Andrews?
Watching the show. St. Andrews.
You're looking at Cranbrook, sorry.
Yes. No, I feel pretty good there.
All right. Well, we'll be on it. We've got the groundwork to crack the case, I think. Let us know if anything comes up. There might be some like legal issues with doing a podcast on that, but
let's should we do housekeeping now?
Yeah, is anything else you wanted to add about the series or
So I think there's some really strong episodes. I think the one where they look at Alex Trimboli and the hand job was like pretty interesting. And I think the one where they look into Miss Shapiro and find out about her tire not getting slashed was a really good episode too. I don't know, that's about it.
Yeah, no, great show. And I'll never look at graffiti the same way again. I'll always be analysing the dicks. I'll be like, no hairs. Interesting.
Well, here's one thing. I think they made too much of a deal on the dick hair, ball hairs.
Oh, no, that's critical. What are you talking about?
Wait. I feel like the mushroom head is the bigger, to me, the bigger thing than the hairs.
They're both important.
Hand motion as you're drawing the dick, whereas like you do need to spray a few extra lines to do the hairs. So you could, if you're rushing trying to get through all the cars, maybe skip that bit. But I do think it's sort of like handwriting. Like if you've every single dick you've drawn hasn't had a mushroom head, and then all the lines in the cars do that. That to me was. Like, that even before they addressed it on the show, when I saw the cars and then I saw one of his on the board, I'm like, that's a different guy. That's like...
No, I agree. Well, I think... I think we'll be analysing... we'll be analysing these for a long time. You go, they used the old mushroom head technique. Interesting. Not as fast as the Dylan method.
Dylan does not seem like a guy who would have changed his drawing style. No. Getting blind. Like, I think that to me, the ball hairs, but also the mushroom head, like, had me thinking there's no way he drew those.
No, that's his signature.
Yeah.
Well, very good. So, yes, good stuff, American Vandal. Let's crack open a quick housekeeping. Matt, what do you got for us?
Well, our next two podcasts are going to be Star Wars, correct?
Star Wars and Coco are probably going to be our next two.
In either order. Now, we wanted to do Coco a couple of weeks ago because you saw it, so we could do it. But it hasn't come out in Australia yet. It comes out on Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas.
Robbery.
But I got this message from Dutchie Jonathan the other day. I might play it for you. Let's see. So I'm playing the message.
You have one new voicemail. New message. Tuesday, 1:06 p.m.
Messages.
A message. To record a message.
Okay. Oh, well, it got deleted. So,
the mystery continues. Well, just to, I guess, provide a bit of Dutchy news, Dutchy's actually seen American Vandal, and he told me that his verdict on it was that it deserves an award.
There we go. So he loved it.
What award? I don't know. But it's deserving of something.
Any awards out there, it deserves something.
Maybe a Screen Verdict Award. We'll see. We'll be coming up with our nominations probably in January. for the best TV shows of the year. So we'll see. Could be in the running. A combined 16 is a solid score. So we'll see if it gets American Vandal that award that Dutchie has been asking for.
Well, so, okay, here we go. Dutchie left a message on my phone the other day because I haven't seen Coco's Not Out Here yet. And he said, like, I was just speaking to Jonathan. He saw Coco. And so you probably want to do it for the podcast. And, you know, I thought it wasn't out till the Boxing Day, just like you. But I was just at the cinemas. And there was a Coco session. So I went in and saw it. So just so you know and stuff like that. Anyway, I then looked it up. I've not been able to find a Coco session anywhere. But he apparently went to a cinema and there was one and he went in and saw it.
You're slacking, Matt, with all your Gold Derby connections. Dutchie, he snuck in there, got in Coco before you did.
Yeah, so he said it's very good, though. He said he hadn't heard anything about it, but he thought it was great.
Well, very good. We will be doing a Coco podcast soon. We'll let you know if we agree with Dutchie. We'll have to follow up. See if he thinks Coco deserves an award as well.
I wonder if this will be his next thing he's campaigning for an award. I've just looked at American Vandal has received 3 award nominations on its movie database. They were nominated for 2 Broadcast Film Critics Association Awards for Best Limited Series and Best Actor in a Movie Made for Television or Limited Series. And they got a Writers Guild of America Award nomination for the New Series Award.
Yeah, there you go. The WGAs, a well-known precursor to the Screen Verdict Awards.
Yes. And the actor who got nominated was the guy who played Dylan for the Broadcast Film Group. So there you go. Could be on the scene. And it looks like at least it might be going for those Limited Series Awards. Mm. When we get to the Emmys and stuff.
Interesting strategy. There are no such categories at the Screen Verdict Awards. One of the most exclusive awards you can win in the entertainment industry.
6 awards for film and television. Mm. That's it. Anything else going on in your life, Jonathan?
Anything else going on in my life?
Yeah.
Oh, just catching up with the podcasters. Some personal news. You know what I've been getting into recently?
No.
Podcasts. This might sound silly because we've been recording a podcast for over 6 years, but I never really listened to podcasts.
Oh, Jonathan, I was telling you, this will be good. You can now get into that LA podcast scene. Like, all networked in with all the cool LA podcasters.
It's like, I record one. Like, why would I listen to podcasts? It's like,
it is quite a thing, recording a podcast. It does take time, and it does take away time from listening to podcasts. Like, I could be listening to one right now. I'm not making one.
So, yeah, no free shout-outs, but it's a good medium. I see why people like them.
I'm going to, when we stop recording, ask you which ones you're listening to.
Matt, you got any news for the listeners?
I've been listening to podcasts too.
They're all the rage. I think they're going to take off.
Yeah. Look out, radio podcasts. Not really much. I'm going to see a cricket game this week. That should be fun. Yeah. School's finished for the year. I gave a talk at the carol service. I don't know. Yeah, not much going on, really.
Well, you brought it up.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's a podcast. We're going to come back with Star Wars, which I from what I understand is one of the greatest Star Wars ever made, or one of the worst Star Wars ever made. That's what I'm hearing.
I have heard more than one person say it was the best Star Wars, and I've heard more than one person say it was the worst Star Wars. So, very excited to review that.
One thing all these comments have given me is I'm thinking, boy, this is going to be a good thing to podcast about.
And I think American Vandal is a good podcast. I'm glad I made you you watch it.
Yeah, no, it was a good show, yeah. So, yeah, good podcast. Star Wars should be an interesting one. We might love it or hate it. Or one of us loves it, one of us hates it. That would be a good cast. And then Coco as well, which we know Dutchie loves. And I haven't heard anything negative about Coco.
And we got to place it in our Pixar rank. It's where we started, our famous Pixar rank. I think this is number 18, something like that. So we'll share our rank of every single Pixar film and then place Coco in that rank.
Yeah, I love it. Sounds good.
All right.
Okay, we're done?
Yeah, lots to look forward to, guys. Hope you enjoyed listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.